The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Crime Prevention 101 with host Susan Bartlestone. We're so happy you've joined us. Over the next hour, you'll learn the tips, tricks, and vital information that'll help you keep yourself confident and safe. Now, here's the host of Crime Prevention 101, Susan Bartlestone.
What do Oprah Winfrey, Paris Hilton, Tiger Woods, Ted Turner, and even Franklin Delano Roosevelt have in common? All these famous people and many, many, many more have had their identity stolen or been victims of credit card fraud. In fact, identity theft became so common among professional athletes that in 2007, the National Football League started giving its rookies fraud prevention training. Identity theft is a huge and growing problem with awful consequences, and since November is the start of the holiday shopping season, beginning with Black Friday on November 26th, and then Cyber Monday on November 29th, it's also a special time for ID thieves, pickpockets, purse snatchers, and the like. So on tonight's show, I'm going to be talking with Paige Peterson from LifeLock, the identity theft prevention company, and we're going to discuss what you can do to protect yourself on these special days and anytime, and what you can do if you've been victimized. And to start us off, I thought we'd talk about shopping. I thought we'd talk about books and DVDs to consider when you make up your shopping list for the significant others in your life who are addicted to reading about crime, either true crime or fictional crime, like I am. And you'll be meeting Kevin Burton Smith, who hosts a wonderful website called The Thrilling Detective that I think you'll just drool over. I'm still drooling. And last but not least, I've got some tips for keeping your young children safe in shopping malls. And I've also got a few gift suggestions for you that are safety-oriented, and I think they're outstanding. So make sure you stick around for that. Now, if the stress of the upcoming holidays is making you want to murder someone, why not take a break and spend some time with me tonight? I'm Susan Bartlestone, coming to you from the always sizzling New York City, and welcome to Crime Prevention 101. And don't forget that we're on iTunes. You can take us with you wherever you go. All right. Do you like to read good detective novels or about true crime cases? Let's meet Kevin Burton. Kevin Burton Smith, rather. And he is a mystery reviewer and columnist hailing from Montreal, California, currently hiding out in the high desert of Southern California. He's also the editor and founder of the Thrilling Detective website and a columnist and contributing editor to Mystery Science Scene. And he keeps threatening when he's not ruminating about hockey and smoked meat that he's going to write the great Montreal detective novel. Hi, Kevin. Welcome.
Hi. Just before the folks back home kill me, it's Montreal, Canada, not California. I live in California now, but I am from Montreal.
I am bowing at your feet. I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. I don't want to be murdered before I start.
Okay, good idea.
What can I tell you? Hello.
All right, well, let's start a little bit with, now, I have to tell you, though, I really love to read and look at old film noir crime dramas and listen to old-time radio dramas about detectives and whatnot. So talk a little bit about the Thrilling Detective website. It's like being a kid in a candy store on that website.
Well, it started almost as a joke, but it's just grown into this. My favorite waste of time, I think, and a lot of other people's, evidently. It's sort of an encyclopedia of fictional private eyes. I have a little spiel I do about how it's for fans of fictional private eyes and other tough guys and girls who make murder their business, not their hobby. So that you won't find much about amateur sleuths there or about official policemen. You'll mostly find the guys that fall between the cracks, the guys in the fedoras and trench coats and the girls who go jogging on the beach with a gun strapped to them and hire themselves out to do police work, basically, but they're private. So their concerns, they answer to their clients, not to government or because they found a body in the rose bushes.
Now, it says here you feature about 2,000, you've got biographies.
Yeah.
Of 2,000 characters from literature, film, television, radio, comics. That's a lot.
Yeah, I still don't know how that happened. It seemed like it just grew and grew and grew. It's not, you know, I have had a life for the last 12 or so years. It just, this has become a hobby that just kept going and going and going. And I've, you know, every time someone tells me how much they like it, I feel like, well, I have to keep going, so.
Mm-hmm. And you also have something called What's Happening in the PI World Right Now. So give us a little update on that. What's happening?
Oh, that's my attempt to keep the site more relevant. Because it is a reference site, everything isn't always of the moment. It's not cutting edge. So this is my attempt to introduce new stuff. And whenever something catches my eye, I tend to mention it in my little list of 10 or so items on one of my pages on the website. And it's just a sort of shout out. I guess it's sort of like a long-winded version of Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Current
new features.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm going to say, go ahead. What were you going to finish?
Oh, I was going to say, like, for example, right now, Ellery Queen Mystery Magazine is celebrating their 70th birthday. And that's worth shouting out about, I think. I think a lot of my fans would be interested in knowing that, because 70 years is a long time for a magazine to exist. There's probably a handful of magazines that have been around that long, but I don't think there's any others that have been publishing popular fiction, especially in the crime vein, for that long. So 70 years is a very long and respectable run.
No, I agree. So, now, do you have a particular favorite?
A favorite author? Oh,
yeah, or character.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, this isn't a three-hour show, but certainly Raymond Chandler, for me, is about as good as the mystery genre has ever produced as a writer. His descriptions of Southern California and Los Angeles, even though they're in the 30s and 40s, you pick up one of his books, and yes, people are driving roadsters, and they're talking about running boards, and you know, men are wearing hats and ties and suits, but there's a modern sensibility. These are virtually timeless. His takes on corruption and his cynicism about the rich and the movie industry and everything—they're as relevant today as when he first penned them. And it's interesting to see someone writing in 1934 and complaining then that Los Angeles wasn't the way it used to be. Well, they're still complaining about it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. And it isn't the way it was back then, for sure, either.
Yeah.
So, and you know what I also love? That some of the best movies, my favorite movies, were made from his books.
I agree.
His, yeah. And I've watched those over and over again, and they were made in that time. So you really know what he's talking about when you say Los Angeles was different or California was different.
Oh, yes. In fact, one of the books that I think is anyone would be very interested, who's into that genre, would appreciate is there's a book out this year called the Film Noir Encyclopedia, and it's the fourth edition of a long-running thing by Silver and Ward. Those are the authors, and it's just an amazing thing. It's an encyclopedia of film noir, and you mention a film, and it's in there with a critique and an analysis and a summary, and you know it's just come out again in a nice, handsome hardcover edition. And you know, I want Santa to bring me one.
Actually, I'm writing that down on my list too, because those are my favorite of all times, and I even like all the, especially even the kind of B novels and the B movies that came out. They had fabulous clothes, you know, even if weren't, you know, and the sets were amazing, even if they were not top budget productions.
Well, one of the interesting things about film noir is everyone talks about the lighting and how stark and dramatic it was. But I believe it was Edward Dmytryk who directed Murder, My Sweet, the Dick Powell adaptation of Raymond Chandler's book, who said that the reason the lighting was the way it was is because they couldn't afford to do it any better.
That makes some sense, actually, I think.
A lot of these B films were cranked out. There were A films as well. Howard Hawks, The Big Sleep, was certainly a big production. It starred Bogart and Bacall. And there was no scrimping there, but some of them, it looked like they got $100 to make the film and blew most of it on beer for the rap party. some of them, it looks like they barely had an ending when they started, you know. But there's such style in them and such a sense also, if you're into it, the sense of almost doom that no matter what these people do, it's not going to end well. And I think that's one reason film noir still reverberates. We know that not everything in life ends with people dancing off into the sunset as the orchestra swells. And I think there's something appealing about that. I find that a lot of the crime fiction I enjoy, the detective may solve the case, but he doesn't save the world.
Absolutely. Now, you got some very cool DVDs there, TV series and things like that. Talk a little about what people can find in that area.
TVs and DVDs. One of my favorite television shows of the last little while has been, it's not a private detective show, although a private detective is one of the strongest characters in it. It's the show The Good Wife, about the wife of a disgraced politician who's trying to make a living as a lawyer in a big law firm. It's incredibly complex for television, and it's on CBS. It's not on HBO or Showtime or that. Mm. And yet the complexity of the plots and the characters is just amazing. There is a staff investigator for the law firm who is also, I'm not quite sure how to take her. She seems to be someone obsessed with dark secrets, and yet the character's name is Kalinda. I forget the name of the actress who plays her, but this is a woman you don't want to mess around with. In one of the recent episodes, she redecorated a rival's car with a baseball bat, and she's wailing away on the guy's car in the underground parking lot, smashing the headlights and windshields, and a citizen happens to walk by, stops stunned at what he's seeing, and she turns to him and just glares at him and says, "What are you doing there? Go call the cops." And then she continues to wreck the car. So,
I like her style.
Yeah, I like that.
Now, if I like older, I know you had Mannix there,
Certainly, one of my old favorites too.
And you had something called Torchy Blaine. Now I'd never heard of.
Oh yes, this is a real guilty pleasure. If you like B films, this is great. They made about 10 of these. Most of them starred a woman called Glenda Farrell as Torchy Blaine. These are screwball comedy mysteries that. Very much in the Thin Man vein, but a lot quicker, because this woman is a motor mouth. They probably have five times as much script for these films as films twice their length. She just chatters away. It's amazing her vocal cords don't just fly out of her mouth. She plays a reporter who wants to compete with the big boys, and she'll do anything to cover a case, which of course annoys the hell out of her policeman boyfriend, who is always for some reason the one assigned to the same case.
Of course, how
does that happen? we're talking not quite realistic, and yet there's something about them. They're like a guilty pleasure. It's like popcorn covered with chocolate or something. It's just, we shouldn't like it, but try to stop.
Okay, well, I'm writing that down on my list too, because that is right up my alley.
Enjoy those. In fact, that's another thing I hope Santa pays attention to, because I've tried to be nice this year.
And the nice thing too is I can click through from your website right onto Amazon, where I can buy this if I want to for somebody.
Well, yes, actually,
I like that. And I'm gonna also look for some. I happen to be a fan of the Nero Wolfe things myself, so I'm going to check that out as well. Well, Kevin, give out the website, because I know that my listeners like to read this stuff like I do. Where can they find you?
Oh, it's pretty simple. The site is called the Thrilling Detective website, and you can find it at thrillingdetective.com. That's all one word, no underscores, no spaces. Or you could probably Google it or enter it in Bing. Yeah, not that hard to find.
ThrillingDetective.com. Well, thank you so much for being with me today. And this is Crime Prevention 101, the radio show with an optimistic perspective on a sober subject. Coming up, Black Friday and Cyber Monday, the biggest shopping days of the year, and especially if you're going to be buying some of these detective novels online, I've got ways to protect your identity in the store and online, so nothing mars the holidays for you.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Susan Bartlestone, host of Crime Prevention 101. And I want to tell you about My Mobile Witness, a revolutionary service that transforms your camera phone into a personal safety device. My Mobile Witness believes safety is improved when you remove anonymity from dangerous scenarios. If you're in a stalking situation, for example, if you have an order of protection against someone, or if your profession places you in situations that are potentially dangerous, I want you to check out My Mobile Witness. And you parents of college students, ask the school to check out the My Mobile Witness University program with custom-tailored options aimed at keeping both students and faculty safe. Every campus could benefit from the My Mobile Witness University service. For more information, go to mymobilewitness.com.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.crimeprevention101.com for more information.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Hi, Susan Bartlestone here. There's plenty of show left to tune in for, so please start tweeting about us. And don't forget that you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I've got over 4,000 friends, so come and join the party. Now, I want to introduce you to Paige Peterson from the Identity Theft Prevention Company of LifeLock. Hi, Paige.
Hi, Susan.
Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, my pleasure.
And just give me a little bit about your background, what you do at LifeLock, and how long you've been in the identity theft business.
Well, I've been at LifeLock for a little over 4.5 years. I'm the manager of educational programs, and my primary goal is, or job function is to educate law enforcement and consumers about identity theft. So it's a perfect topic that we're talking about today, identity theft, on your show.
Well, good. Well, and along that line, just exactly what is identity theft for those who aren't totally sure?
You know, identity theft is someone taking your personal information, making new of it. So a new account, opening up a new, maybe opening up a house or anything like that. Where identity fraud, very similar, is going to be someone using your credit card under your name, maybe extending a loan in your name. So they're fraudulently, you know, being you, but they're not opening up new accounts. That's theft.
So that's an interesting point, because most people think it's just, okay, they've got your credit card number and they're charging up stuff that'll go on your account. You can notify the companies and you won't be responsible for it, but that's only the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, it is. I mean, we've come across so many, new members. It's generally people who are calling in after they've become a victim that now want to become members. And what's happened here is, you know, they have houses bought in their name. We have one lady who actually had two houses bought in her name before she decided to, you know, sign up for a service. We have, you know, kids having accounts open up in their name as well. So
they wouldn't find out until they're maybe 18 or so, or years old or so. They steal a child. If your child has a social security number and that is stolen, that child's identity can be assumed, and they won't know until they actually start going about trying to get credit cards and loans and things, right?
Oh, that's right. And, you know, having a child's identity being stolen, you know, for 10 plus years having bad credit, try going and getting your first school loan or your car loan with, you know, bad credit. I mean, it's a poor experience for the child.
And about how big a problem are we talking about? I have some old figures. I'm not sure they're even up to date.
Oh, you know, well, identity theft is one of the fastest growing crimes in America. We have millions of people becoming victims. But according to the FTC, which is the Federal Trade Commission, the numbers are only of the people who report the problem. So when you have, you know, 17% of people reporting that they've been a victim of credit card fraud, realistically, you know, more people than that have been victims of credit card fraud, because you're generally not going to report it to the Federal Trade Commission if you get something reversed quickly. So the numbers are more like 9 to 10 million people being victims.
And I also read that it's cost billions of dollars to retailers and other businesses and industries because of this kind of theft.
Oh, absolutely. Billions of dollars is just, again, the tip of the iceberg. I mean, think about if somebody, you know, bought something on your credit card for $500 and it gets reversed. Well, the merchant and the credit card company, someone has to be out that money. So, again, it's going towards our interest rates and being raised and things like that. And we end up actually paying for that in the long run.
All right, so we're talking about possibly 17 to 20 million people affected and billions of dollars lost. This is truly catastrophe. And in fact, I just read a story in the New York Times about this hacker. I don't know if you're familiar with the name of Albert Gonzalez.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, this is the biggest, the largest theft of account numbers, tens of millions. They're still tallying what damage he's done and his crew. It's quite an article. If you can get a hold of it in the New York Times, if you're interested in this kind of subject, it boggled my mind. I mean, I'm still processing it.
Well, you see, what him and his crew did is he was part of the big TJ Maxx scandal. And what TJ Maxx did is they actually had unencrypted wireless when it came to their credit card transactions. So anybody who used a credit card at that TJ Maxx store was compromised by Albert Gonzalez and his gang. Because what was happening is once the credit card transaction went through, he was getting the number in the entire process because it was unencrypted on their side.
And just by sitting outside the stores in a van with some computer equipment. Amazing.
Just like that. It was within seconds. He, you know, probably compromised thousands of credit cards.
Unbelievable. Well, Paige, hold on a second. We've got a caller who has had an identity theft problem, and I want us to talk with her and see what her story is. So
right.
Just hold one sec. All right, I want to welcome Kathy Conley to Crime Prevention 101. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, and I'm delighted that you're calling in today. Talk to us. What happened to you, Kathy?
Well, my morning ritual is to go work out at a local gym here in Austin, Texas. And I did something my mother always told me not to do. I put my purse under my car seat, locked the door thinking it was secure, walked into the gym, walked back down less than an hour later, and someone had broken into my car, stolen my purse, and started charging my credit cards within 15 minutes of taking my purse.
Absolutely typical.
I was just devastated. It happened in broad daylight. It was about 8:30 in the morning in a busy front parking lot of the gym. I called the police and found out that this is a typical MO of criminals watching ladies in particular walk into a gym without their purses and then, you know, mark their cars to break into it. So lesson learned the hard way for me, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing the reason that you left the pocketbook in the car is because there's been thefts in the gyms.
Good point.
Correct?
See, you're exactly right. So it was like, okay, which do I want to take a risk with, you know, in the gym or in my car? And I chose the car, unfortunately, but because it was just easier for me, too, to walk into the gym. And, you know, I'd had my key in my pocket, and then I could work out without having the extra baggage or worry about a locker or anything. And walked back out and saw the glass. Someone, you know, last thing I was thinking was that someone had broken in my car, and sure enough, they did. Well, the authorities thought that it could have been maybe someone wanting the money for drugs or whatever, and they would throw away the plastic. Well, we called my credit card company and said within 15 minutes of stealing my credit card, they were swiping at Walgreens and buying gift cards with it, you know, Visa cards.
Oh, yeah. But well, those law enforcement people need to take Paige Peterson's course.
I think that's a great idea.
Paige, let me give her a tip on what to do with the pocketbook, and then Paige, talk to her about what happens when your ID's been compromised. Quick thing, Kathy. It's okay if the gym isn't secure in terms of your pocketbook. Don't leave it in the car. Put it in the trunk of the car. But when you leave your house, don't go to the parking lot, open your trunk, and put it in there. Because that's what they do. They wait in the parking lots to see for those things. Mm-hmm. Put it in beforehand so no one knows. And when you get to the gym, you just take your gym clothes and you're on the way. And that way no one knows it's in the car.
Good advice. I wish I had heard from you all before this, but it's a great lesson for everybody else going to the gym, especially over holidays.
Thanks. All right, now, Paige, what can she do once your ID's been compromised? What can you do?
Susan, I did want to – that is an excellent point about putting your you know, things in the trunk before you get to the gym. And just so you guys know, it's the number two place for your purse or wallet to get stolen is in the gym parking lot. So, Kathy, you're part of the statistic that makes this, you know, true.
Yes.
The number one place is actually in your child care parking lot because generally you're running in and out to get your kids and things like that. So,
I didn't even know that. Okay.
Yeah. So it's number two place. But as far as when you're a victim, you actually did a very good job about contacting the police because in order to, if you don't contact your credit cards right away, sometimes they require a police report if the amount that you've been charged on your credit cards is over a certain amount. So it's great that you contacted the police because, again, you're adding to the statistics. They're able to take that information and, you know, report on that when it comes time to reporting. The next thing you should do, I assume you canceled your cards and got reissued new numbers?
We did, yes.
Good. You should actually report this to the FTC. It's the Federal Trade Commission, because, and they have a website, it's ftc.gov. Report that you've become a victim, and this would be, in your instance, it'd be fraud, because the numbers come out at the end of every February, and that's how laws get changed. And, you know, we can report on these numbers and do shows like this to raise awareness of identity theft and identity fraud. So other than, you know, the two things you've already done, the last thing I would suggest is report it to the FTC.
Oh, great advice and such a great show. I appreciate it so much.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you so much for calling, Kathy.
Thank you.
All right. Well, she's got to also, you know, Paige, she also needs to make sure that by checking periodically that these numbers haven't been sold elsewhere. You know,
that's right. But generally, if you close your accounts, you are able to, you know, you won't have any charges. But think back what else is in your pocketbook. If there was any Social Security cards, any, you know, maybe voter registration, anything like that, everything like that needs to be written down and, you know, put in the police report and then also get new ones of those and reissue new cards, new checks, anything that was in the purse. So there's a lot, unfortunately, as women, we have a lot of things in our purse and pocketbooks. So there's a lot to be recovered when you have somebody steal your stuff.
Sure, and one of the things that they classically do is sell your credit card numbers to other ID thieves who then will open up these accounts in your name and so forth. So she needs to keep monitoring the three credit bureaus and everything to make sure that none of that has happened to her.
Absolutely.
All right, let's start with Black Friday. We got a couple of minutes till break, and then we'll pick up with Cyber Monday. So what's Black Friday, first of all?
Black Friday is the time where everybody, you know, you get your deals. If you're in for, you know, the big purchase of electronics, maybe even some great clothes deals, is generally where people get all of their Christmas shopping done. But with that is an increase, with the increase of spending, we have, a decrease of our guard. And so our bank actually does a really good job about monitoring our spending habits. But during Black Friday and the holiday season, it's very difficult for banks to really monitor your spending when you're buying things that you normally wouldn't. So it's very, as consumers, we need to be diligent about looking and checking our statements, because if there's even a charge for less than a dollar, or it's so minimal that we just, you know, kind of shrug it off, that's actually, you could become a victim. They're testing you right there. They're making sure that the transaction goes through, and they're going to hit you with thousands of dollars the next day, the next week. So it's very, very important you contact, you know, your bank or your credit card and make sure that they reissue you a new card.
And the reason that they call it Black Friday, I think, is because this is the most heaviest shopping day, and the day that the stores go into the black, let's say, for the year, as opposed to the red losing money.
That's right.
I heard that's why they called it. And this is I know that in New York area, a lot of the stores are opening at 12:01 a.m. midnight on that day, and people they give these big steep bargains, so people are online, just hordes of them to get in there. All right, I'll tell you what, we're coming to break. Paige, stick around with me. We're going to talk a little bit more about things you can do in the stores to stay safe, and we'll talk about Cyber Monday, and that's staying safe online, and that's I spend about 90% of my money online. So, and be sure to stick around, because I've got some tips for shopping safety in the malls coming up later, too.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. After more than 17 years experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.crimeprevention101.com for more information. Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
This is Crime Prevention 101. I'm Susan Bartlestone. And if you'd like to receive my new series of weekly 30-second audio crime prevention tips to post on your group or organization's website, blog, or e-newsletter, just email me at solutions@fightsafe.com. Now let's talk more about Black Friday and Cyber Monday. All right, Paige, I'm here with Paige Peterson from LifeLock, and we're talking about what can you do to stay safe on Black Friday. You're going in that store, there's thousands of people, your credit cards are busy, busy, busy. What can we do?
Well, one of the things you can do is be aware of shoulder surfing. So, you know, pay attention to who's around you and the information that you're giving out. So if you're applying for a store credit card because you want to save that extra 20%, generally, instead of an application anymore, you're giving it to them and they can give it to you automatically, instant credit. And so be aware of who is around, because there could be a line of 10 people that could be looking like they're texting, but they're really typing in your information.
Absolutely. And I talk about a lot about the pickpockets. One of the things to do if you're worried about them stealing cash or credit cards from your pocketbook, always take a pocketbook that has a flap when you shop that goes across your chest and turn the flap in. It's a little cumbersome because you have to pull open the flap, and then it should have a zip or two, ideally, but that's going to prevent them from bumping into you in a crowd and lifting your wallet and credit cards.
You know,
I like that one, too.
It is a good one, and it's, you know, there's so many tips, and a lot of people, they might think, oh, this isn't going to happen to me, but, you know, these scams and these identity thieves, you know, it's rising, and it's definitely more prevalent now than ever.
Sure, and again, when you're in those crowded stores, it's just a perfect time for this kind of activity. All right, let's focus now on Cyber Monday and just go into a little detail about Cyber Monday. What is
Well, Cyber Monday is a time when, you know, you're online and you're going to, you know, you have the great deals online. It's not just the store. So it's very, very important for everyone to be on secure internet. So whether it's a password protected at home, and also secure sites when you're shopping, to make sure that you're typing in your information when a site is secure. So how do we know this? When you're browsing on the internet, it's going to say HTTP up in the browser. But when you're going to type in your personal information, so your credit card, your shipping address, it's going to say HTTPS, which means that site has certain encryption standards. And so your information is secure with them.
Okay. Well, all right, so that's one thing. I'm going to look for that HTTPS, meaning it's secure. And sometimes it'll also say secure site. It should say it, actually, right? There's a little logo.
A little lock at the bottom. And sometimes, like, you know, I was on Amazon yesterday, and it said, log into our secure site, and it, you know, it brought you to kind of a different page. And so I really like how websites and you know, legitimate companies are going to this secure feature that, you know, gives, you know, some, you know, the consumers at ease a little bit when they're shopping online.
Okay. Now, what about, I get this email, and I've gotten tons of them, and I imagine that on Cyber Monday, which is November 29th, I'm going to get even more emails, bargains, discount, buy this, buy that. What do we have to watch out for with these emails when we get them?
Well, you need to make sure that it's legitimate, and the one thing you need to do is not click on any links in these emails. Because if it's a what we call a phishing email, which is an email that seems legitimate but it is fraudulent, it's going to take you to let's use Best Buy for an example. It might say, this is a Best Buy ad. You click on the ad, but up in the browser, you'll notice it's Best Buy. It's spelled B-Y-E, and it's taking you through the site, and it acts like just like a Best Buy site, but it's going to compromise your information once you go to the checkout phase. So it's better if you just open up a new browser, type in the store that you want to visit, and go that way. That way you know you're on a secure site.
I like that, too. You have to verify. It's really important, because when you click on those links, it will look exactly, I mean, if they've done their homework right, these thieves,
it will look exactly like a legitimate website. So you need to be extremely careful about clicking through. And I think your advice is good to just go directly. Like if you want to look for this bargain on Best Buy, go to Best Buy.
Absolutely.
And if they're not offering it, you can either forward. And that's another thing, by the way. You can usually companies will let you know, right, if this is a genuine email.
Oh, absolutely. If you think that it's not a legitimate email, what I often do is if I get something that looks suspicious or looks fishy, I then forward it to their fraud department. I get a lot of emails. You get ones from, you know, certain banks that, you know, say that your information is expiring. So then I go and I forward that to their fraud department just so they're aware of the scams that are happening out there, you know, based on their company.
And they'll verify with you whether or not it's a true email, because I've done that so many times. If I'm not sure, and every single time that I've sent it off to the website, they have come back and said this is a fraud. I've never had one that said it's not. And I got these from my banks and credit card companies and stores, and never once was it not a fraud. So they are out there doing it that way. And by the way, you said phishing. I want everyone to understand it's not like F-I-S-H, right?
That's right.
It's P-H, phishing with a P-H, I-N-G. One tip that somebody told me about recently, and I love this now, if I'm not sure that the site that I'm going to is as secure as I'd like it to be, because you would have thought, we were talking about that Albert Gonzalez thing, you would have thought TJ Maxx, and he did Target, and he did huge stores, you would have thought they would have been secure. If you know that you're going to be using a lot of online particularly, get some gift cards for yourself.
No, that is a great tip. That's a wonderful tip. You know, they have these one-time credit cards that you can use, whether it's you get it through your credit card company or your bank, or load up one of the gift cards that you can get. You know, put $500 on that gift card. That way, if it's, you know, compromised, you know that it's, you know, it's $500 you lost instead of your entire savings.
Mm-hmm. And not your identity. Exactly.
That's right there. Not your identity. And that's
right.
So true. Yes.
The only thing is that you got to keep that gift card after you use it, because I've tried. I made the mistake of getting rid of the gift card, and I had to return a couple of items. And without that gift card, I was not able to do it. So you must keep the gift card, and you must keep a good record of what you bought with that gift card just in case.
No, that's an excellent tip. That's one I'll be adding to, you know, my tips to the consumer.
Sure, it's good for in-stores as well. We used to tell people to take either, instead of cash, take traveler's checks, because almost every place you go will accept traveler's checks, and they are replaceable if they're stolen, or these gift cards to do your shopping. Leave those credit cards at home.
Absolutely.
All right, let's see. Anything else we could talk about to protect... protect yourself online? What else is good to do here?
Well, you know, if they do use services like PayPal, that is generally more secure going through PayPal than putting in your personal, you know, your credit card information. So if there's an option for PayPal, it's a good option to use.
That is correct. And I also know, and I've got to do some more research on this, and maybe you know, Paige, there is a way for your credit card company to give you a dummy card number. A couple of them do it.
That's right. They do. They'll actually give you this one-time number. So if I know I'm going to make a large purchase and I don't feel comfortable putting in my credit card number, I can actually get a number that's linked to my credit card that can only be used that one time. So then I go and make that purchase with that credit card number, which is linked to mine, but it's only used for that purchase, and it'll go through. So I'm not aware of the banks that do it and the credit cards that do it, but I know it's definitely an option that's brought up in our law enforcement training that we do.
Yeah, I need to follow up on that, because I think it's a great idea. And I think that I also read, too, that you can get a special number to give to doctors and things. That was always one of my... pet peeves is anytime I have a doctor or other, a couple of other instances where they insist on your social security number. You can get a special number that doesn't link to your regular social security number. They're not going to be able to open accounts with it. I think I remember something about that too, and I want to kind of track that down, because when I go to the doctor and I put my social security number there, it is there for anyone to see.
Well,
anyone that, right?
No, you're right. And then what do they do with that piece of paper that they put in the folder? Do they throw it away? Do they shred it? Do they lock up their cabinets? You don't know what they're going to do with that. And so you're leaving it in their hands to protect your personal information.
Well, I can tell you, I've been horrified to see these charts lying around with the Social Security number. They call it an ID number, but you know what it is.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
It's a patient ID number. You know exactly what it is. Lying there, lying up on the desk, I saw people's numbers. Any temporary employee that works there can get a hold of these numbers. I'm just appalled about it. And I do seem to remember somewhere where you can get, I'm going to try and track this down, and I'll post this information on my crimeprevention101.com blog. And along with some of the tips that Paige and I talked about. Paige, maybe we can come up with some good tips to put on there for the listeners.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure. I know we're going to be talking more. I want everyone to check out lifelock.com because you've got some great tips on the website there for protecting yourself from ID.
We do. And there's free things that you can do as well. So we just want everyone to, you know, be more educated about whether they can protect themselves for free or enrolling in a service like LifeLock.
Terrific. All right. And Paige, we'll be talking again. Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you, Susan.
All right. This is Crime Prevention 101. Now stay right where you are. When I come back, I want to give you some simple tips for staying safe in shopping malls if you're going to be shopping with young children. And I've also got some great products to tell you about that I think you're going to want to add to your now safe shopping list. So stay tuned.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.crimeprevention101.com for more information.
Hi, this is Susan Bartlestone, host of Crime Prevention 101, and I want to tell you about My Mobile Witness, a revolutionary service that transforms your camera phone into a personal safety device. My Mobile Witness believes safety is improved when you remove anonymity from dangerous scenarios. If you're in a stalking situation, for example, if you have an order of protection against someone, or if your profession places you in situations that are potentially dangerous, I want you to check out My Mobile Witness. And you parents of college students, ask the school to check out the My Mobile Witness University program with custom-tailored options aimed at keeping both students and faculty safe. Every campus could benefit from the My Mobile Witness University service. For more information, go to mymobilewitness.com.
News, opinion,
hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Hello again. This is Susan Bartlestone. And don't forget, again, I'm telling you again, because I don't want you to forget, Crime Prevention 101 is available on iTunes. You don't have to be at your computer to listen to all this wonderfulness. Okay, I got a couple of tips for you coming up about shopping safety. One more tip I forgot to mention earlier when I was talking to Paige and from LifeLock. If your wallet is stolen, in addition to calling your banks and your credit card companies, don't forget to tell the IRS. Because they once they've got your information, they could file for claims and or claim a refund that you might be owed using your identity. And if you let the IRS know, they'll flag your account and let you know about any fraudulent activity. And they have a special identity theft hotline, and that number is 800-908-4490. And I'm going to post that tip and some ID theft resources on my crimeprevention101.com blog. All right, let's talk about shopping malls. You're going to be going out there, and a lot of you have kids. So if you're shopping with children, you want to plan ahead in case you become separated from them. So instruct them to look for a police officer or a uniformed security officer. It's got to have a uniform associated with the mall or store, or a salesperson with a name tag, or even another mother with children. And make sure that your kids know at least their whole name, their phone number, and their address if possible. Another good thing, get a whistle for you and for each child. And instruct them if they get lost to blow on that whistle every few seconds so that you'll be able to find them. And make sure that they listen for your whistle too, because when you hear them whistle, you're going to whistle back. And that's another quick way to find those kids in that crowded shopping mall. Now, if you're shopping with very young kids that are too young to remember their first, last name, and phone number, I want you to consider a kitty harness, a safety harness, or kitty leash. And I know this sounds terrible, but it is better to be safe than to be sorry. Some of them double as backpacks, or they're shaped like cute little stuffed animals. And a couple of websites you might check for this, onestepahead.com, applerise.com, safeandsecurebaby.com. They have all sorts of other child safety products that you might want to get for your own kids or add them to your shopping list. There's also a good safety whistle company. It's called whistleawaycrime.org, and it comes with a child safety program and what they call a state-of-the-art whistle, and I'm going to have to look into that about what a state-of-the-art whistle is. And it also comes with an award-winning child safety DVD, whistleawaycrime.org. I think that's a good choice for shopping. Also, if you're shopping with older kids or teens and they become lost or separated, make sure that everyone has a cell phone fully charged so that you can call them. If there's no reception or you're not sure that you're going to have reception, arrange to meet beforehand in some kind of pre-designated spot, like a specific checkout counter near the store entrance or the store information booth or the mall information booth, pre-arranged in advance. And let's see, one more product I want to tell you about for kids. Oh, this is great, iSafe.org. The letter I, and then SAFE.org. This is an excellent organization aimed at teaching young kids and teens to be safe on the Internet. You can get a subscription. They've got all sorts of educational material for you to go over with your kids, how to monitor what they're doing. It's for both you, young kids, and teens. And so it's iSafe.org. And don't worry, I'm posting this on crimeprevention101.com blog, so you can find it easily. Another product that I saw that I liked a lot, and I, by the way, I have no connection with any of these companies, at least they come and advertise on Crime Prevention 101. All right, very quickly, keep valuables in your closet. It looks like a hanging top, but it's actually, you can zip it open, and it's called a hanging closet safe. You can zip it open. You can put your credit cards, keys, money, important documents there. If a thief goes through the closet, it's going to look just like a blouse hanging there. And I saw this. This came from whateverworks.com. It is called a hanging closet safe. All right. Well, that's a wrap for now. I hope everyone has a very happy Thanksgiving and a very happy and safe holiday season. Please don't forget, we love to hear from you. So by all means, post your comments and suggestions to us. You can do it by emailing me, solutions@fightsafe.com. You can do it through my blog, crimeprevention101.com. Don't forget to tell your friends about us. And you and I will be doing this again next week, same time, same place. And it'd be a crime not to listen. So stay tuned and stay safe.
We hope you got some useful information and inspiration this week on Crime Prevention 101. Susan Bartlestone invites you to join us again next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Voice America. If you want to learn more about Susan's guests, sign up for her newsletter, or find out about upcoming teleseminars and workshops, go to www.crimeprevention101.com today. Have a great week and a safe week.